staring at the beauty of the king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our king.
To God, glory to God. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to your morning energizer. Yes, it's your morning faith boost, and I'm excited to be here because I know you're there listening and having a great time. Glory to God. So what do you see? Yep. What do you see? I'm sure you're enjoying the soothing music, all right? Well, Amanda Cook, beautiful song there. Beautiful, beautiful song. All right. Please do not forget. Drop your comments. Please would appreciate them, or just, please just drop your comments. All right. Let me know what you're learning. Let me know what's, you know, getting you blessed and how it's blessing you. And if you don't mind sending an email, you could send it to LanRayOnNorsingHamMinistry01@gmail.com. All right. So it'll be good to hear from you. All right. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What do you see? So we've had to ask three levels of the question. Number one is, what do you see? Number two is, how do you see it? All right. And number three, how well do you see it? All right. You could see something, and then we all see stuff. Every day we see stuff. Okay. How do you see? What's the perspective with which you see it? And how clear is that perspective to you? Mark chapter 8:23, Jesus praying for the blind man. Bible said, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees, you know. All right, not like there's a pause there, but I just added that. I see men, you know, but I see them as trees. After that, Jesus put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. So he couldn't see. And then Jesus asked, can you see? You know, said, yeah, I can. All right. So I see men, but I just see them, you know, as trees. Okay. So I see men, but I see men as trees. And then Jesus says, all right, you need a second touch. Okay. So, boom, here you go. Tell me now how well do you see? And they're like, whoa, thank you, Lord. I see clearly. This, yes, we're picking a case of healing here, but it's just super important because that's just like what happened in 2 Kings, all right, chapter 6, all right? Elisha and his servant, and the 17th verse, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Up until this time, the servant felt so like we're overwhelmed, Master. What are we going to do? Elisha made a very clear statement to him. More are they that are with us than they that are with them. We're protected. We're guarded. Elisha knew by revelation and obviously maybe, right, by prophetic understanding, he could see or he just knew by experience, hey, they're always here. Never alone, but God opened his eyes. So there's something about our eyes opening. There's something about our eyes opening. There's something about our eyes opening. So yesterday I said, we'll take a journey to Isaiah 55 and see, right, the beautiful thing that God said there, right, to the people. And it's just important that it's well understood. You know, growing up as a believer, you know, you find that, oh, some quote it, but then they just seem to get stuck at a particular point and like, hey, but let's see what God says here. So Isaiah chapter 55, I'm using the NIV, all right? So verse 8 of Isaiah 55, Bible says here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. So that verse, okay? So you could pick that verse, you know, isolate it, and then you lose the entire context. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, or neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But let's back up to the 7th verse, okay? Or maybe the 6th verse. So see this. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Did you get that? Let the wicked, verse 7, forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. It says for means because. For my ways or my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way. So he is not saying what he said in verse 8 as it is that way and I want it to continue to be that way. All right. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. I want it to remain that way. No. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake their ways. So our ways are different, but I need you to come over to my own ways. All right. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Look at verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. 10 now. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, I need you to listen to the rest with the mindset of what we just read. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. Heaven, earth. It now says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven. So his thoughts come down like rain. Are you getting that? His thoughts come down like rain. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater. 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. So as rain comes, so his word comes. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It would accomplish what I desire. All right, it would achieve the purpose for which I send it. So when his word comes out, all right, his thoughts, his word, when they come out, his ways, they come to us, they transform us, all right? So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It will not come back empty, all right? He said, as the rain comes from heaven, as the snow comes from heaven. So his ways are higher, but they come to us and then they transform us. All right, they don't return to him empty. They elevate us to the way God. Oh, this is how God thinks. Oh, this is how God sees it. Oh, this is God's own perspective. Do you understand that? This is how God thinks. This is how God sees it. This is God's own perspective on this particular matter. It is important that we get this. God has a method of operation. God has what he does. God has how he does it. Psalm 103, The seventh verse, Psalm 103, verse 7, says, He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. So the children of Israel saw the acts of God. They saw manna. They saw water come out from the rock, right? They saw the Red Sea split. They saw many things happen, but the Bible says, He made His ways known to Moses. So Moses understood the method of operation of God. This is how God operates. This is how God functions. This is how, please get that. This is how God operates. This is how God functions. God has a method of operation. Did you get that? God has a method of operation. God has, He has it. All right. So people want to see the acts of God. Oh God, just do it. However you're going to do it. However you're going to do it. Just do it. You know, I remember, you know, Ken Hagin talked about, you know, a particular preacher. In a particular person, you know, was praying, oh God, just do it some way, somehow. And then the man had prayed that way for quite a while, you know, oh Lord, just do it some way, somehow. You know, said he got to point the man and said, Lord, do it some way, somehow, by hook or by crook, Lord, by hook or by crook, Lord. You know, I mean, that some people just, they just want God to do it however. God just get it done. No, but God has a method of operation. All right. God has not just some way, somehow. All right. God has His ways. God has His how. He said, my ways are not yours. My thoughts are not yours. But that's not how He wants it to be. He needs us to be elevated to His ways. All right. He needs us to be elevated to His thoughts. God has a method of operation. And one clear method of operation that God has is faith. Do you understand that? One clear method how God functions. Okay, so how does God function? He functions by faith. God functions by faith. All right, God functions by the operative power of the spoken word. God functions by the power, all right, that operative power of the spoken word. God believes that when you speak, right, things happen. He believes that when you speak, things change. Do you understand that? God believes, I'll say that again, that when you speak, things happen. God believes that when you speak, things change. Oh, glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. When you speak, things happen. When you speak, things change. God believes this, all right? You remember in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I know you know it. You could quote this from your sleep, but let's take a clear look at it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. Then God said, let there be light. But Bible said darkness was upon. So question again, what was God seeing? God saw darkness. So how did He see it? With what perspective? He didn't see it as insurmountable darkness. God saw it as, okay, so darkness, but I see it as just preparatory for light. Did you get that? I see darkness, but I'm not moved by the darkness to such a point that I'm going to give up or give in and say, oh my goodness, there's so much darkness, there's nothing I'm going to do. He saw darkness. He said, let there be light. All right. More accurately, God said, light be. Light be. Light be. He saw darkness. So someone says, but I see something. All right, good question. Like we learned, all right, from the story in Numbers when the spies were sent out. Are you saying what God is saying about it? Because it's not enough to say, oh, I need to say something. But are you saying what God is saying? And then people come up with, oh, but let's be realistic. I am being realistic. It just depends on the reality. Remember the case of Elisha and the servant again? There were realities, the physical reality right there. We are surrounded. All right? We're done for. All right? We're finished. That's the reality. we have been, you know, the Syrians are here to get us. All right. But then there was another reality. So Elisha spoke from the other reality. Now, this is it. Many people now say, oh, hey, but I know, you know, Christian so-so-and-so, all right, maybe brother so-so-and-so, maybe sister so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, reverend or bishop so-and-so, you know, the person said this, but this other negative thing still happened. Oh, this happened to the person. Oh, this sister. Oh, that brother, you know. And I would always like to repeat, you could hear anybody mouth the word, but you do not know what's happening within their heart. Do you understand that, please? You do not know. So you can't even judge, all right? You can't say, wow, that person spoke the word. That person loves to quote Psalm 91, but see what transpired. You can't analyze anything, seriously. So when things happen, don't sit with other people and try to talk. Hey, we don't even know what's going on. Someone could speak the word so much like this and evil still go. Don't join anybody to say stuff. All right? I believe you should only think you have the audacity to get involved in conversation when you have revelation from the Lord. Let that be clear. I'm not just going, I mean, everybody could come up with, I perceived and I've been sensing and I've been picking. Please learn to hush on matters. Except clearly, as in super, super clearly, the Lord revealed something to you. Because too many people say stuff and it's not accurate. You know, because you don't know what transpired. You don't know. Oh, but the person had an accident. And then the person died. You don't know what transpired. Sometimes it might not even be the fact, you know, that the person hasn't been speaking God's word. But it might be that there was something said. Now, you need to get what I'm about to say. Someone might have said something like 25 years ago and maybe said it so strongly and forgot it was said and just never ever used words again to counter that. So, person might still do, you know, I walk in secret with most I bow down shadow, but never really countered that. I don't think I'll live to be 50. I don't think I'll live to be 50. And person might have said it so much at the time, maybe a lot more younger, 20 years before. And then the person is almost 50 and the person's knocked out. But the person really, you know, but you don't know, except the Lord reveals words have been spoken. Words have been spoken. Words that were not countered were spoken. They were released. You can't answer. You can't tell. Anyway, I think I've said enough on that. Just be very mindful not to judge, not to get involved in conversations that you do not have a revelation on. Please understand that. So God operates by faith. That's how God functions. That's how God works, by faith. So we'll look at, you know, Romans chapter 4, okay? And we'll see here the 17th verse of Romans 4. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. Talking about Abraham. All right. Now, this is where I'm going. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. This is descriptive of God now. All right. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. The God who gives life to the dead. God's method of operation. God gives life to the dead and God calls into existence things that were not existent. Please notice, God calls into existence things that were none. All right. So God sees darkness and does not say, this is darkness. He says, let there be light. God calls into existence things that were non-existent. And this is God's method of operation. This is how God expects you and I to function with him. That it's not about what you see. It's about what you say. It's about what you call forth. Because there are two realities. So when as a child of God, you are too carried away with the physical reality that you see, No, remind yourself there is a higher reality. You've got to come to the Word, and you please need to also fellowship with the Holy Ghost to see the other reality. Please understand this. Please understand this. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's keep reading. All right, God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. God doesn't deny what exists. No, he didn't deny the darkness. He calls what he wants. All right, he didn't deny the darkness. He calls what he wants. Verse 18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Please, I love verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Without weakening in his faith. I've had to say recently, all right, while ministering, that many believers cannot put the fact together with their faith. All right, they can't put the fact, you know, pari passu, you know, and just look at the fact, look at faith, and say, I see the fact, but it doesn't disturb my faith. I see the fact. Maybe you try to say that. I see the fact, it doesn't disturb my faith. I see the fact, but it doesn't disturb my faith. I see the fact, but it doesn't disturb my faith. I see the fact, but it doesn't disturb my faith. I see the fact, but it doesn't disturb my faith. Did you get that? You see the fact. I really like the way the NIV, all right, puts it in the 19th verse. Without weakening in his faith, all right, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. So going back to Genesis chapter 1, do you think God saw darkness and fell? Guys, what could you see? Nothing. All right, God said, yeah, nothing too. If God called it nothing, or called it nothing out of, I choose to call you zero, not ignore, not deny. No, Bible wrote it clearly, so we will know. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Bible wrote it there. Remember in John 11, all right, in John 11, Jesus was told that Lazarus, all right, was sick. And then he told his disciples, all right, this sickness is not unto death. Then Lazarus eventually dies. Then he told his disciples, Lazarus is dead. Let us go and wake him up. He gets there, meets Martha, meets Mary. Then he gets by the tomb. Martha speaks again. But summarily, Jesus said, your brother will live again. Before Lazarus died, Jesus had said the sickness is not unto death. So look at the transition. Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. Jesus says, and I believe he said it by revelation or basically by authority. What do I mean by that difference? Either it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost, or his faith just went out and said, no, this is what's going to happen. So either of the two. So Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. All right. Then without any messenger coming back to him, he knows now by revelation and tells disciples, Lazarus is dead. Let us go and wake him up. I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there when it happened, so that you see the glory of God. So that means the situation moved from bad or critically bad to worse. But it did not affect the statement Jesus had made. Have you gotten that? That's something all of us need to learn where faith is concerned. You know, you start confessing God's word, maybe about finances, maybe about your health, and then your doctor says it's getting worse, or maybe the financial situation, the due date, all right, super close, or already maybe expired. So the situation moves from bad to worse, and that's the point usually where our faith also moves to zero. She just goes, oh, well, what do I do? Doctor said it's getting worse. Things are really bad. Oh, my goodness. And then fear rises. And then the situation gets bigger. But Jesus said when Lazarus was sick, the sickness is not unto death. Now Lazarus is dead. The sickness is still not unto death. It could be, but Jesus, you said it. It's happened. He's dead. Something's wrong. No, it's not unto death. But he's dead. It is not unto death. Meaning he has to live to prove the word spoken earlier that this is not unto death. So when you begin to declare the Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. And then it seems for the next couple of days you lack. Stay with the word. The Lord is my shepherd, I refuse to lack. I refuse to lack. I will not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. Stay with it. Stay with it. Oh, the matter gets worse. You had to find other ways or means of survival. Just stay with the word in the midst of whatever it is. Stay with it. You would watch the word return, and it will not return to you void. It will not. So we see the case of Lazarus. Now let's look at the case of Jairus. We're looking at God's method of operation, please. So in case of Lazarus, Jesus said the sickness is not unto death. Okay, then he died and Jesus still raised him up. Now we'll look at the case of Jairus in Mark 5. So Jairus meets Jesus and says, please come over to my house, my daughter. All right, come lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed. Okay, so Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Then the woman, with issue of blood touches him. She gets healed. She has her testimony. They keep going to Jairus' house. And people come from Jairus' house and say, trouble not the master any further. Your daughter is dead. Immediately, listen, Bible says, immediately Jesus turned over to Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe. Like it happened in Lazarus's case. Now it's happened. The matter goes from critically bad to worse. But Jesus looks at Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Keep believing. Meaning, this news you just heard does not alter. This news you just heard does not cancel the initial word that was spoken. I told you I will come to your house to heal her. It doesn't change that. I am still on my way to heal her. But master, it's not sickness anymore. It's now death. She's now dead. I am on my way to your house. Your daughter will be fine. Please understand this, because things will change. The enemy will throw things in front of us, change the situation, make it worse, make it look more scary. And like Peter walking on water toward Jesus, if we look at the winds, if we look at the waves, we will sink. But no matter how heavy, all right, the winds and the waves seem to be, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will walk on water. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? You keep your eyes on the word, because Jesus is the word made flesh. So let's conclude the story of Jairus' daughter. So Jesus gets over to the house. He meets the people crying. And he said, do not weep. She's sleeping. He didn't come with their perspective. He came with a different perspective. So when he saw the dead girl, what did he see? Dead girl, how did he see her? Sleeping. How well? He saw it well. Jesus, he was full of his perspective. She's sleeping. And he said to her, damsel, get up. She's sleeping. Get up. And she arose. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to spend time and just, let's, 30 seconds. Let's just thank him. Okay, why am I saying that? All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, this thing you see, this is not as bad as what you think it is. Come on. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's not. Switch your reality. All right. Switch the reality. Switch the reality with which you see it. Or with reality from which you see it. No, switch. Switch, switch, switch. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, because things are good and can only get better. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Bible in, Romans 4, 19 says, Abraham, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that, Sarah's womb was also dead. Can you place facts beside your faith? You don't believe the fact. You don't walk by the fact. You don't confess the fact. No, your faith is intact. He says, because some believers, in order to try to walk by faith, they try to deny the fact. Are you sick? No, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. No, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Achoo. Hey, no, my body is not okay. I see the fact. I won't have to deny the fact. Oh, but in the name of Jesus, from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, I'm full of the life of God. I see what's happening in my body. I don't deny it. But I bring a superior fact over it. I bring a higher truth of God's word over this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bible says in verse 20, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory. So when you learn to give thanksgiving to God, it helps to strengthen your faith. And when you're full of faith, you give glory to God. It works both ways, all right? When you spend time thanking him, your faith gets energized. And when your faith is energized, you give glory to God. Verse 21 says, Abraham fully persuaded that God had the power to do what God had promised. Do you believe this? Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We give praise to him. We give praise to him. All the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Oh, we are not filled with the things we see. We are full. We're full of God's own method of operation, God's own ways. We see things the way he sees them. Oh, he floods our eyes with revelation. With revelation. What is it you're dealing with? All right. We're going to look at cases tomorrow, right? Maybe finance, and then we get God's word. Maybe health, and then we get God's word. Maybe protection, and then we're going to just pick out God's word, all right? And help to set perspective. All right, because sometimes you pick a verse and it doesn't seem to be strong, but you stay on it a day or two or three and it explodes, boom, you know, right there in your heart. Listen, you're not alone. Have a victorious, super victorious day. You are not alone. You are not alone. There will be many facts you face today, but walk with that superior, all right, revelation from God's word. Yes, the business seems to be stalled right now, but no. I face that fact. It's not a problem. I come with the higher truth of God's word that says my path shines brighter and that whatever is born of God overcomes. My business is born of God. It's overcoming, all right? My child is born of God. My baby is strong. I mean, pick the fact, all right? You see it, no problem, but I have a higher reality here, and that's God's word. Have a blessed, blessed, super blessed day. All right, see you tomorrow. Bye. Just like a child staring at